Brent Watkins, Joe Jones. Brent Watkins, you're the owner of the Soapbox. Joe Jones, you also you sort of manage the day to day over there, right? Or pretty much.
I'm a partner.
He's a partner of the operation.
Well, what happened? I mean, we know that there were sort of rumors floating around for a few years. I know, but they had persisted for so long that this did kind of take everybody by surprise. What's going on with the Soapbox?
Well, we've gotten to the point where we wanted to end the business on our own terms at that location, and we came to an agreement with the property owners to vacate the property so that the bank who had called the loan could take it back with a vacant property.
Tell me a little bit about the Soapbox, like how you guys got it going from the very beginning, like its history and all of that.
Oh, sure, man. It started out, there was generally two couples involved, myself and my wife and our two-year-old, and another couple, Sandy Summers and Jason Summers at the time, who had come up with this idea to open a quirky little laundromat bar. Due to some relationships that we had with the property owner at the time, we were able to make a deal happen, and we opened up the laundromat bar, and it was only a few months before we realized that we probably were going to need to do something else if we were going to really be able to stay in business on Front Street in downtown. And so we called some friends of ours I knew from back in the Kookaloris days, and got Somerset was the first band ever to play there one night, and a lot of people came out. And I remember we only had one cooler at the time, no running water behind the bar, and we sold a bunch of beer, and we said, hey, man, this is cool. We can pay our bills now. And so we continued to do that, and we ran into various people that have supported us still to this day. They helped with the booking and I was going to say management of the business. Joe at the time, when I met Joe, he can tell a funny story about it, but when I met Joe, I always remember, he's like, man, I know how to make websites. I'm like, oh, man, I think that would be cool for the Soapbox. We should make a website. And after probably about a year and a half of doing it, we were, you know, Bessie's had closed down at the time, which was a big music hub, and we were getting a lot of phone calls from people. Hey, I had a show at Bessie's. Can we do it there? I'm like, yeah, let's do it. So we started booking a lot of shows, and then I guess, like I said, after about a year and a half, we had the opportunity to rent the third floor. Another business had been there and had gone belly up, I guess you'd say.
Very briefly.
Yeah, very briefly. They opened about the same time we did, and they had done a couple things that helped our plan to expand as far as making the capacity a little higher up there. And so we only had about 150 person capacity in the first floor, and we were starting to have great success with the show. So we wanted to continue and offer better and bigger bands. So we took a gander on our venture, I guess, to open the upstairs and make that a bigger facility. We had a 350 person capacity, and we went from there, I guess. I'm not sure if I was rambling on, Joe. What do you think?
That was pretty on point, and I think that a large portion of it was the fact that some of the local bands grew in popularity that would play just in the lounge with people doing laundry, and they grew, and coincidentally, the business grew because of that and made room for, you know, the necessary space upstairs. And as soon as the upstairs opened, it was pretty much the only place in town to host any shows of that size.
Yeah, for a long time there was, I think Mars was open at the time, and they were mainly doing cover bands. And we were a little more concerned and focused on original music and original talent, both local and traveling bands.
Yeah, I mean, I know just from looking at the soapbox throughout the years, I've seen a lot of focus on like punk bands, hardcore bands, more so than like any venue that I've seen pretty much anywhere. And I'm wondering, where do these people go now? It seems like a huge gap that's going to be, you know, opened up.
To me, it seems like we've gone through different phases almost, but I think the phases go with the actual popularity of some genres of music. And you know, we've always prided ourselves in welcoming any and all genres, you know, from, you know, cross-punk bands to, you know, reggae to
folk, Americana, you know, like you said, I think some of it kind of went with the popularity of the genres at the time. And we used to do, well, back in the day, I remember WHQR had this Front Street celebration thing they did, and we'd have we had a big band up there 2 or 3 years in a row based on that, and that was really fun time. And that was during the day, and there would be, I don't know, 18 people on the stage playing some big band swing or something. It was pretty fun.
Yeah, and you've had a lot of rap music, and you've had plenty of open mic nights and things like that lately on the first floor. I think that's what I'm going to miss the most, is just that, kind of like you said, that a lot of bands got their start there. There's going to be, you know, this was like a haven for them. And it was also like a family, this whole group. Like, I've never met anybody at Soapbox I didn't like, which is rare.
That's amazing, though. The nice thing to say.
Well, it's definitely going to be missed. And I think the response overwhelmingly has been pretty sad from that people have been pretty sad to hear about this, at least on Facebook. And of course, last night at the Soapbox, everybody seemed pretty down. And
mm-hmm. It's been a little long time coming for me personally, being a little more connected to what was going on. And really, the last year or two has evolved to a point where it's been really difficult for us to operate our business in the right manner. So we had hoped that there would be some sort of solution to this problem that would have not led to this. But with the powers that be, you know, really we kind of had to make a decision that was best for us, and we wanted to close on our own terms with a positive note versus how many places close with their doors chained shut, you know.
Are you looking for new locations maybe to open up, keep the Soapbox going?
At the current moment, we are mainly just trying to celebrate what we've done there. And, you know, the Soapbox probably wouldn't even be in existence if we wouldn't have kind of organically grew in that property. And we had a lot of different visions and dreams for what we could do with that. And unfortunately, the nature of our business was made it very, very tough for us to actually have that much extra money available. And we're pretty modest people, and we never really wanted to ask for too much help.
Mm. Well, there's, you know, you've seen so many shows. There's so much great music. Are there any bands that stand out, or shows or moments from the years at Soapbox that stand out for either of you?
There's a lot.
The list is a mile long. Somebody, you know, asked me if I could compile a list of everybody that's ever played at the Soapbox, and that could be done with some investigation into several databases and scrap sheets of paper, but
might take you some time.
You know, there's been so many amazing performances there that for us who have been witness to so many of them, I like to think that the public, you know, has an idea. I think most of Wilmington people that go out to see live music have been through the Soapbox, and they have their memories, and that's what I think everybody's individual favorite performance or standout performance is the most important thing.
I noticed that yesterday when we announced our intentions to close. I was amazed by the number of people that commented on such a variety of shows and genres over the years, some of which, you know, I don't even remember necessarily. And you know, we all have our own particular tastes and what we like. But I can remember, we could talk forever on stories, but I still do remember one night with Sharon Jones down in the basement of the building. We were just hanging out with her. down there, and she's like 5'2" or something like that, and you know, just sings like crazy. And she went upstairs, and I think we had about 100 people there or something like that. So I would say some of the best shows ever at the Soapbox have been poorly attended, unfortunately. But that's the nature, I guess, of it. But yeah, I can still remember that, and then going up and seeing her perform was quite amazing. Quite amazing.
Go ahead.
No, I could go on. We had I think it was about the second year we opened, we did this whole party when they were filming a movie here in town. A bunch of celebrities or whatever was here, and I think at the time Outkast had one of the number one hits in the country, and they literally performed the song on our stage, which we were like, this is pretty cool, in conjunction with Fishbone. Liza Minnelli showed up and made a ramble on statement, and I can remember the Avett Brothers playing there with 50 people, and giving a shout out to Jen Colkin, who had told her that she would listen to their album every morning while she mopped it up to get ready to open up.
Yeah, well, obviously it was your guys' livelihood and everything. What do you think the loss of Soapbox means in the grander scheme of things? I guess here in Wilmington, and you know, what does it mean, the loss for you guys? Obviously, it was your job here at the Soapbox, but what do you lose as far as the Soapbox being a place, you know, to go and that sort of thing?
I think that we've had a tremendous amount of assistance and, you know, help from the community at large, just so much that there are a lot of people that have put on shows, promote shows at the Soapbox. It's a, you know, it is a team effort amongst a lot of Wilmington, and I don't think that, you know, the Wilmington music scene is going to fall apart. I think there are many people out there in all different genres that will perpetuate it. It might be less centralized, but you know, there are some nice venues in town, and hopefully some of them will be open to being as open as we have been in the past.
Mm. What do you think you guys will miss the most?
You know, I think what I miss the most is just the support of what we were trying to do with supporting both local and touring bands, and bringing great, you know, great music and a variety of music to Wilmington. You know, we had hoped that one day maybe an REM or whatever would have come out of Wilmington, and hopefully that will happen sooner than later, and really put Wilmington on the map. And we would hope to be a part of that.
What do you think happens to what's going to happen with Nut Street and the Comedy Room? And I know that like Star News just recently did a feature about how successful it had become, and you know, it was down there last night. There was barely any standing room. I mean, it was taken off. It was really great.
The plans with Nut Street are of relocation are a little more immediate than the Soapbox, just because of the requirements needed to open such a facility. So they're currently, people are looking, we're looking around for other locations to relocate that, and the plan is to carry that on. The press release that we released yesterday kind of said that they would be closing at that location, which is true for both of our businesses, and we don't have an immediate plan right now for the Soapbox, but Nut Street, I think, is a little more focused on trying to find a new location and to carry that idea on, and then perhaps one day eventually do something with the Soapbox concept or the name, you know.
Do you think that you guys personally will, I know, Joe, you may be planning to go to San Francisco. Will you continue sort of, you know, try to perpetuate the music, like Joe was saying? Do you see yourself doing anything more in Wilmington as far as the music scene and all of that?
I would love to be involved and continue to work with the music scene in Wilmington. I think I'm going to definitely be enjoying taking a little break from it and being a patron and enjoying some shows. at other venues here in town. There's a lot of great venues in town to support, and I think that would be the first. My first goal would be to go enjoy some shows with no concern over how many people are there or not. Just,
My plan is really to explore other realms, but still keep Brent as the top number in my phone, and as soon as he needs me to do anything, wherever I am, I'll come right back to help.
Yeah. Well, I know it's impossible to say, but if you were to look like 5 years in the future, do you see, another soapbox, or not necessarily a soapbox, but something like it right here in town?
You know, today this is all such kind of, I mean, although this day has been coming for a while, and we knew that, but it's hard for me to look that far into the future, but I would love to see us do something with the concept and with the music that we brought to town. I mean, one of the things that I think you'd ask earlier was what will I miss the most, and one of the hardest things I think will be just meeting the bands that are traveling, and I mean, God, there must have been thousands of bands that have come through those doors who, you know, didn't make enough money hardly to pay for their gas, but were so grateful, so thankful, and that is something that will be missed, you know.
Yeah.
And that kind of connection with people. But, you know, I hope maybe that there will be a future for it, but I think we're all looking forward to kind of taking a breather and kind of regrouping. And me personally, 5 years from now, I think my daughter will be going into college, so I'm not quite sure.
I'm also wondering, I don't know if there will be some sort of ripple effect, because I think Soapbox is really key to this little block here where we've got, you know, the Kava Bar, we've got Bottega, you know, Opera Room. I'm wondering what's going to happen with that. I mean, it's going through so many changes right now with the hotel and all of that.
I know. That's one of the things that I'm really kind of disappointed about, because we invested a lot of work and time into this block, and we're a big fan of this area. But when we opened 10, 12 years ago, it was, you know, to get people to walk down two more blocks was kind of a challenge, you know.
Yeah.
And until we started, I guess, booking a band that people related to or wanted to see, they wouldn't really necessarily make the trek down. Whereas now it's coming a little more of the central location. You know, I always thought it was awesome that we were right across the street from WHUR, actually. And I know we've done a lot of things together over the years.
I wish we had done more, to be honest. It's going to be sad to walk out of HQR and not see Soapbox there.
It is going to be a little sad to drive down and see that building vacant.
Yeah.
One thing I'd like to say, I think is a very unique thing about our business, is that we've got employees and people that work here, work with us, that have been around literally for almost the entire time. And it's that close-knit family of people. You know, a lot of people have been there for years and moved on or not there today. But that is one thing that's going to be very, very sorely missed in my life. And, I mean, a lot of these people become some of my best friends in my daily life or whatever, outside of the business aspect of it. And I'm sad that's going to end. You know, we've had a lot of good memories, and a lot of people have gone on to create their own business out of what they learned at the Soapbox, as well as people that were just doing it while they were in school. You know, and hopefully learned a lot and carry that on to what they've done. You know.
Yeah. Anything, you, Joe? Anything?
I think I agree with Brent. I think that the Soapbox is almost, for me personally, it's been the biggest learning experience of my life, and I think that people, past and present, will relate to it as their alma mater. And, you know, like you said, you know, careers have been spawned. People have gone from being a teenager with a part-time job to having their own sound management company, sound engineering. You know, there's been bartenders. We've given people chances to come in without a day of bartending experience, and they are highly successful at what they do. And, you know, the opportunity that I hope we've granted Wilmington, plus our family of people that have worked there, past and present, I think that will the daily communication and the regular interaction will be sorely missed.
Yeah.
And the bands too, the local bands that, that support our place. And one of the things that we've been lucky enough to actually see happen is these kids that are in high school. Let's say we give them the opportunity to do a show, and I think that encourages them. And we obviously know that not too many people is going to be able to make a living as a professional musician, but just giving them that encouragement over now a generation of people, it's amazing to see them come in and with so much excitement to play the Soapbox and think, it's the greatest thing in the world. And, I hope that I'm really sad that that's going to be kind of lost. But, because I think that gave encouragement to a lot of kids. And now I see kids, I guess you'd say, that I met when they were, in high school or graduating or whatever, and now that I see them over the Christmas holidays or whatever, and I'm excited to see that they're in college and not like a bum or anything like that. But I guess that was one thing that will be sad and missed too, is the opportunity that we've been given to give encouragement to children and kids of all ages.
Well, like you said, you're kind of ending it on your terms. You got a month left, and Joe, you mentioned you got want to let this last month not be so sad, but be sort of a celebration of what Soapbox was. So what's going on this month? You guys have big things planned?
We've got some stuff in the works since we just kind of, made the formal announcement yesterday. We've definitely, we're working with people and working on some pretty cool surprises. And I think we put it in the press release that, one of the most, appreciative things I think that anybody could do is just come by and have a drink, share a story, say hi. And hopefully we'll put some stuff on the books that really appeals to people and they can celebrate properly.
Yeah.
We've definitely got, just the last 24 hours, gotten quite a few requests from bands and supporters of our venue that would love to come play and want to play, and said, I wish I could have done more and this and that. But, we're definitely going to try to accommodate as many artists as we can.